Hello and welcome to the Kitchen Table Theology Podcast, where each week, Pastor Jeff Cranston explores biblical theology that provides practical life applications in an understandable way. Thanks for joining us at the table. Let's get started.
Hello and welcome to Kitchen Table Theology. I'm your host, Tiffany Coker. Along with my dad, Pastor Jeff Cranston, we're currently working our way through a Bible overview series, looking at each book of the Bible that's a little bit of background and the key theological themes on each book. So today, we are going to be diving into the New Testament book of James, which, Dad, is really one of my favorite books of the New Testament. It's an incredibly practical book. It gives us so much wisdom in regards to our everyday Christian life. And Dad, as we get started here, I think many of us perhaps would like to know a little bit about the man James himself. I think we're going to say that he's the author. So just getting to know him a little bit better. I do know he was the half-brother of Jesus, which is always interesting to me.
Yep, he sure was. And hello again, Kitchen Table Theologians, and thanks for joining us again for episode 196. And it's just so hard to believe we have done that many. And Tiff, we need to have a big celebration of some sort for the 200th episode. Maybe we should give that some thought, perhaps a giveaway for our listeners, or maybe a huge party with balloons and cake and all that kind of stuff.
And you and I can just eat the cake. I'm not sure how we
in our separate places.
Yeah. We can get each other a cupcake. That will be great. No, 200 episodes, that really is incredible. I remember way back when you started it, and Jen was with you for a long time, just so many great things. I know I've learned a lot over the years. So we do need to give that some thought and try to come up with a better celebration than us eating cake.
we'll see what happens. Let me get us back to James. So you mentioned correctly that he was the half-brother of Jesus, and that Mary and Joseph were his earthly parents. They're the ones who raised him. And what must it have been like if you were a sibling to grow up with Jesus as your brother? I mean, no matter what you did or didn't do, you'd never be as good as Jesus was.
I know, growing up with two sisters, I can't even imagine what it would have been like to grow up with Jesus as a brother who never made any mistakes, never said the wrong thing, never did anything wrong. I don't think back on my childhood, that was probably a little bit different for Jesus there. Dad, I think most of us can figure this out, but for maybe it would be good to take just a second and define what exactly we mean when we say that Jesus was James's half-brother. Clarify that for us.
Yeah, that's a good idea, because I'm learning throughout life to never take most things for granted. And we have many new believers, people who are new to following Christ around the world who listen to Kitchen Table Theology. So perhaps for a few of us, this concept might be new. Well, Jesus and James were half-brothers, in that Mary was their mother and Joseph raised them. But Jesus was conceived not by Joseph, but by the Holy Spirit. Now, James would have been conceived by Joseph and Mary. So that's all pretty significant for a couple of reasons. First is, as everyone who has siblings knows, they see you in a very particular light. And your siblings have a front row seat to your life, and you hardly have any secrets from them. I love my sister Kelly, and she loves me, I'm pretty sure. She appreciates, respects my faith in Jesus, and I certainly do hers. But having grown up with me, I can promise you that nothing I could say or do at this point would convince her that I am the sinless Son of God. I'm pretty sure I wouldn't get very far with that. And the fact that James was convinced that Jesus was the sinless Son of God is a big deal. The fact that he was so convinced that he ended up as a key leader in the early church and eventually died as a martyr is a bigger deal still. But there's another side to this as well. This is also significant because James did not believe in Jesus as the Christ, as the Messiah at first. John 7 verse 5 tells us that not even his brothers believed in him. So his brothers didn't believe in him. Mark 3 tells us that when his family heard what Jesus was doing out there in public ministry, that some of his brothers and Mary went out after him because they thought, and here's the biblical language, they thought he was out of his mind. That's literally what the scriptures say.
Wow.
We're not told why they didn't believe, but we are told that it was only after Jesus' resurrection that James became convinced of who Jesus really was. And that's all significant, because it's not the kind of thing you'd lie about if you were trying to pull a fast one. The honest, often unflattering portrayal of the key figures in the Bible is part of what makes it so believable. So we know that James didn't come to faith until later in his life. So the first big truth about James that we want you, Kitchen Table Theologian, to lock in on and remember that this book or this letter of James was written by Jesus' half-brother, who was a thoroughgoing disciple and follower of Christ.
That is an interesting fact. You grow up with your sibling, and then when they're 30, you find out that they're claiming to be the Son of God. And you're like, no. Like, I've known you your whole life. Are you sure this is the guy we've been reading about and our parents have been looking for? Really? That would be an interesting perspective to have for sure. All right. We have established James is the author. We know he's a contemporary of Jesus. You just told us that they are brothers. Tell us a little bit, Dad, about when he wrote this letter and if he was writing to a specific group of people. I know several of the books we've covered, it's written to a group of people. So whom was James writing this letter to? Was it more of a general in scope, meant for a wider audience or a specific group?
Yeah, those are good questions. So we know that James, after he became a true believer, eventually became one of the chief leaders in the church at Jerusalem. And James wrote from Jerusalem prior to the meeting of what is known as the Jerusalem Council. And the Jerusalem Council, we know about that and some of the things they discussed from Acts chapter 15, because Luke tells us all of that. And at that council, James, along with Peter and Paul, affirmed the decision to take the gospel message to the Gentiles. So the Jerusalem Council and the result of that is very, very important. That council, we know, met around AD 49, meaning James likely wrote his letter around 45 to 48 AD. So such a significant event as the Jerusalem Council warranted comment from James as he was writing to, and here's part of the answer, he was writing to primarily a Jewish Christian audience. But James makes no mention of Gentile Christians at all, making an early date for the letter most likely. In fact, you can put up a pretty strong argument that the book of James is likely the first New Testament book written.
Really? I did not know that. I think I just always assumed that the Gospels were the first New Testament books written. So that's really interesting that maybe James was one of the first.
Yeah, and the Gospels are early, especially Mark. Mark is very early, but there's strong evidence to show that James may likely be the earliest book of the New Testament. So we don't have time to go any further down that rabbit hole, but on to who he was writing to. I mentioned Jewish Christians. The very first verse of the book, James 1:1, tells us who he's writing to. He writes to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad. The 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad. That's who he's writing to.
Okay, you might have to clarify that for us. What that seems a little bit murky there, maybe. What does that mean? Most of our other New Testament letters specify a certain city or a specific group of people. So what does he mean, the 12 tribes spread abroad?
So he's writing to some of the first Christians, primarily Jewish people who have recently converted to Christianity and becoming followers of Christ. Historically, the 12 tribes refer to the 12 sons of Jacob, who right. formed the nation of Israel. And they were children of the promise given to Abraham, and that goes all the way back to Genesis 15. He used the word dispersed, and maybe a more well-known or more applicable term that we might know would be the dispersion. And that's a term you hear about referring to Jews who had been scattered outside the land of Israel after their exile. So James now uses that term of dispersed to highlight that now the church is the true Israel scattered throughout the world. But he's not limiting what he's writing to a city or a certain group of people in a geographic region. He's referring to believers, most of whom, or perhaps all of whom, are Jewish at this point, but they are part of that historical dispersion.
I learn something new every day. So James is writing primarily to Jewish Christians, most of whom you said are new to the faith. This is one of the earliest writings. These are Jewish people who have been spread all around the Mediterranean region. Is some of that because of the persecution from the Romans that we read about?
Well, in many cases, yes. Some have been, their grandparents or great-grandparents maybe had wound up somewhere else because of other persecution against Jews. So instead of writing to one particular group, like Paul did with the Galatians, that was more to a region, people who lived in a region of Galatia. Paul wrote to the Christians who were in the city of Ephesus. Instead of that, James is addressing Jewish people in many different areas.
All right. What does James say? Let's get into this a little bit deeper and talk about some of the themes of this letter.
I really like what pastor and author Chuck Swindoll says about the book of James. He wrote this: the book of James looks a bit like the Old Testament book of Proverbs dressed up in New Testament clothes. Its consistent focus on practical action in the life of faith is reminiscent of the wisdom literature in the Old Testament, encouraging God's people to act like God's people.
I do like that also. And considering we just covered Proverbs, I think that was last week here on the podcast, that really hits home a little bit more. So let's get into what is James teaching us about this practical wisdom. I know that this book has been called a book of commands. Depending on how you define it, how you look at it, there's somewhere between 56 and 61 commands in what is a very short letter, which is one of the reasons I like this book. It's short and to the point, but yeah, that is a lot to live up to. So maybe you can break out some of the key themes in the book for us. I know we can't hit all 60 commands here.
Yeah, James, he doesn't beat around the bush a lot. That's for sure. He gives us, and there are a number, like all of these books of the Bible, there are a number of themes, and we'll just touch on a few here today. James is giving a charge overall for Christians to obey God's word and not merely listen to it. That comes through loud and clear. Mm-hmm. And let's remember, James is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he certainly does throw a high number of commands out there. So he's wanting us to know without any uncertainty that hearing God's word is necessary, but it is not all sufficient. We can't just hear it. We've got to do it. So that's necessary because we cannot know who God is or who we are or how to live in a manner pleasing to God apart from revealing those things to us. But knowing those things alone is insufficient because God reveals them to us in order that we might be transformed by them, not merely store them up. So we store them up, we take them in, we read the word, we understand the precepts and the commands and so forth, but it has to result in action and obedience. So we've got to put these things into our life to live out the word. James is very strong on that.
And I'm going to read for us James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25, because I think that's exactly what he's saying. Mm-hmm. It says this: but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you've heard, then God will bless you for doing it.
So there you go. We can't rightly understand James, much less live in light of it, if we don't understand that its primary aim is to remind us as readers that God's people do what the Bible says. They don't just merely hear it or study it or like it or believe it. We have to do it.
Have to put it into action. That's a great main theme for this letter. What else can you share with us in terms of themes for this book?
Well, again, there are many, but let me just share two more. Let's call the next one solidarity with the poor. Solidarity with the poor. If the community addressed by James is called to be doers who act, a key component of this action is to be in solidarity with the poor and the oppressed. And James hits on this chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 5, and he exhorts Christ followers to having a mindfulness of God's special concern for those who are continuously at risk of mistreatment by the rich and the powerful. So that tells you many of the original recipients of his letter, they were in that was their life. They were living that out. So love of one's neighbor is specifically contrasted with a partiality shown to the rich at the expense of the poor. That's in chapter 2. So that's having a solidarity with the poor, remembering the poor, helping the poor out, making sure that they're not mistreated by the rich and powerful. That's a theme of this letter. And then lastly, I'd submit that this next theme may seem extremely obvious, but I wonder if we can often miss it sometimes. And I think one of the key theological themes is God. Now, I can imagine kitchen table theologian, you're going, yeah, no kidding. That's true in every book. Well, that is true, but
like when you're in Sunday school and the Sunday school teacher asks a question, the answer is Jesus.
Yeah.
What's the key theme here? God. Yes, it is. I do agree. That's maybe an obvious theme here, but Dad, I'm guessing you have maybe a little bit more of a point behind that. So let's hear it.
Let's hope so. Well, the book of James is intensely theological, and that God is the second word in the letter in the original Greek. And God is at the center of its language and perspective as you read through it. There are almost, well, depending on what translation you're reading and so forth, let's just say there's about 25 references to God in the 108 verses in the book of James. So it's just barely under 25% of the book mention God by name.
Wow.
And in doing that, James is teaching us a great deal about God, the one true living God, unchanging in purpose. We learned that. He answers very generously our prayers when we ask for wisdom. We learn he's the giver of every perfect gift. We learn he's the author of the implanted word of truth that's been, as he says, implanted in us. And that word of truth holds the saving power to make people not only hearers, but doers of the word. And we learn God causes his spirit to dwell in us, that he gives grace, that the wisdom that he gives us, which is James calls wisdom from above, works itself out and shows its fruits in our lives in righteousness and in mercy and in peace. And so there's a lot going on there in what James is teaching us just about the person of God.
I mean, that right there would give us an incredible study in the book of James. Kitchen table theologian, maybe you can do a little study on your own about the character and the attributes of God just that we see in the book of James. I think that would be really cool to do. So
I think that would be a really good idea for some of you. Maybe you want to take that on. Some of you looking for a new Bible study or something, just go through the book of James verse by verse and write down and study everything that James teaches us just about God. I think you'll find that extremely rich and very, very helpful to you and give you a deeper understanding of who God is and what God does.
That's great. Thank you so much, Kitchen Table Theologians, for listening today on the podcast with Pastor Jeff. If you're enjoying the podcast, would you take just a minute and consider leaving a rating or review, especially on iTunes? We really do appreciate it, as that is really what helps get the word out. Don't forget, you can check out today's episode notes and more at jeffcranston.com. You can also email us anytime. It is pastorjeff@lowcountrycc.org. As always, thanks are due to our friends at Low Country Community Church here in Bluffton, South Carolina, and at Streamline Podcast for making this podcast possible. Next week, Lord willing, we'll be back with our Bible overview series in the Old Testament, looking at the book of Ecclesiastes. I know I have a lot to learn on that one, so looking forward to that. Until then, always remember that the real power of theology is not only knowing it, but applying it. Thanks for joining us at the table.
You've been listening to the Kitchen Table Theology Podcast with Pastor Jeff Cranston. Join us next time for more insights into biblical truth. If you'd like to know more on today's topic, please check out our show notes. If you have a question from today's podcast, kindly email us at pastorjeff@lowcountrycc.org. If you're enjoying this podcast, would you consider leaving a rating and review? We deeply appreciate your help in getting the word out. And be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or in your favorite podcasting app to continue this journey with us as we learn about and apply God's word to our lives. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time here at Kitchen Table Theology.